Good afternoon, everybody. I call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order at 3:30 p.m. on Thursday, March 2nd. We're meeting today in room 205 in the Capitol Building. Please remember to silence your cell phones as a courtesy. Committee members present today are Senator Dunbar, Senator Giesel, Vice Chair Kaufman, and myself, Senator Wilson. Senator Tobin is excused on other state business this afternoon, but we do have a quorum to conduct business. We only have one item of business today, Senate Bill 8. Was not ready for the CS, so that is going to be moved until a later date. That leaves us with Senate Bill 57, Adult Home Care Med Assistance, which is sponsored by Senate Rules by request of the governor. And we'll hear an introduction of this bill and take invited and public testimony today. At the table, we have our Acting Director of Senior Disability Services, Mr. Tony Newman from the Department of Health. And also to answer questions today are Robert Knave, the licensing specialist, the Division of Healthcare Services, is here in the room. Yep, online. And we have Caroline Hogan, the health program manager from the Division of Senior Disabilities, also here in the room. No, online too. Okay. All right, well, with that, Director Newman, if you want to begin, we're all set and ready.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Tony Newman. I am the Acting Director at the Division of Senior and Disability Services at the Alaska Department of Health, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to present Senate Bill 57 on behalf of the governor. This bill would add to the array of services available under Alaska's Medicaid home and community-based waiver programs. I know some of you are quite familiar with the Medicaid waivers. For those of you that aren't, I'd like to give a very quick overview to help set the table for what the bill is trying to accomplish. Alaska's home and community-based waivers are a part of Alaska's Medicaid program that allow people with disabilities and seniors to remain in their homes or assisted living homes when they would otherwise receive institutional care, such as in a nursing home. Like all Medicaid programs, the waivers are provided through partnership with the federal government, with the feds picking up about 50% of the cost for services and the state picking up the rest. Alaska has five waivers aimed at different populations of Alaskans depending on their needs. They are listed here, along with the approximate number of people on them. So you can see that the Alaskans Living Independently waiver at 2,200 people is our largest waiver, followed by the Intellectual and Disabilities waiver, serving about 2,000 people. That's the waiver may be familiar to you as the one with the waiting list. Typical example of someone on our Alaskans Living Independently waiver might be a senior who had a stroke and now has limited use of their arms or legs and has had to move into an assisted living home. A person on the Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities waiver could have cerebral palsy or Down syndrome and who, with enough supports, is able to stay at home with their parents or in a group home. The idea of the waiver is not only to provide people with more independence and personal choice, but also save the state significant amounts of money that would otherwise need to be spent on more expensive institutional care. So let's say that you are enrolled on a waiver. What does that mean? It means you are eligible to receive an array of services. The menu of Alaska services is listed here. Not all these services are available to everyone on every waiver. Some people receive just one of these services. Some people receive many at once. Some of these services are only provided in assisted living homes. Others can be delivered in people's own houses. The one thing all people on waivers have in common is they rely on care coordinators to help set up support plans and help waiver recipients take best advantage of the resources in their communities. We're grateful for our care coordinators and all the people who work to provide these services. These aren't state employees. These are people working in your communities. They're self-employed or they work for small agencies and businesses out around Alaska. So what Senate Bill 57 seeks to do is provide the people who are on waivers with a new service option, adult home care, that would be offered in a new licensed residential setting type, an adult care home. Our vision is that both the service and the setting will have reduced administrative burdens compared with the current assisted living home options, but still ensure the care and safety of the individuals residing in them. So, think of someone you know, a neighbor or a longtime friend, who has difficulty preparing meals or maintaining adequate nutrition, or they're unable to manage their daily personal needs, such as dressing, shopping, or cooking. Maybe this is a young person with a developmental disability, or maybe it's a senior citizen who's known you all your life. They're getting to the point where they probably shouldn't live alone, but there's no assisted living home option nearby that would allow them to stay in the neighborhood that they know and love. But imagine you own a home and you have a spare bedroom because your kids are grown and gone, and you have space you could offer this neighbor, but maybe you're not able to provide by yourself all the assistance this person needs. This new option described here in this bill is meant for both your neighbor and for you. Of course, informal arrangements like this have been part of society for centuries, haven't they? Under this bill, the support provided will ensure safety and as much independence as possible for the recipient and an adequate support for the caregiver. The idea for this bill was first brought to the governor's attention by constituents who were serving as foster parents to children with severe disabilities who were aging out of the foster care system. These constituents found there weren't easy ways for them to continue to offer care to these foster children when they became adults. The only real option available to them was to turn their family home into an assisted living home, which would require licensure and several other requirements. In developing a new option for these caregivers through this bill, the department realized that a new type of home care setting could potentially be of value beyond those aging out of the foster care system. So this bill extends the possibility of adult home care to other individuals with disabilities, including seniors, who qualify under the Medicaid Home and Community-Based Waiver Program. As this slide notes, there will be different administrative expectations for adult care homes compared with assisted living homes. There are many things that will need to be worked out if this bill passes. We would need to work up regulations about the kind of credentials and training caregivers would need, what the space expectations would be for the homes, what the rate of payment would be, and more. The division will invite a lot of input from our partners, families, service providers, care coordinators, advocacy groups, and of course, people with disabilities themselves, as well as the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and determining the details around the service. But what this bill does is provides us with the conceptual framework that we need to get started on that work. Senate Bill 57 is needed because the lack of care options, the growth of Alaska's senior population, and workforce shortages all require that Alaskans think creatively and provide more options for people to get the care they need while still living as independently as possible, especially in small communities that likely don't have assisted living and other good care options. We are hopeful that adult home care will grow in popularity and ultimately be an attractive alternative, helping make Alaska the best place it can be for neighbors and friends to live and grow old together. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee, for your time. I'm happy to walk through a sectional overview or answer questions at this point.
Let's do a sectional analysis, please, and then we can see if there's questions on the bill thus far.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Section 1 of Senate Bill 57 adds a new section in AS 4707, Medicaid Assistance for Needy Persons, declaring that the state shall pay for adult home care services for an individual at a daily rate set by the department in regulation for individuals on Medicaid who are at least 18, enrolled in a home and community-based waiver, if the individual support plan is approved for adult home care services, and if the person providing the services to the individual holds an adult care home license issued under AS 4732. The section also allows individuals to receive habilitative and rehabilitative care in addition to adult home care services and directs the department to adopt regulations setting a rate for the service, establishing standards for operations of an adult care home, and establishing a procedure for transitioning an individual from a licensed foster care home to a licensed adult care home. Section 2 of the bill amends AS 4732-010B to add a new entity, adult care homes, that shall be subject to the centralized licensing functions of the department. Section 3 adds a new section to AS 4733 that defines the conditions under which the department may license an adult care home. A person may be licensed to operate such a home for an individual who is at least 18 years of age and enrolled in Medicaid home and community-based waiver services. An adult care home may provide 24-hour oversight and care for up to two adults for compensation or reimbursement under the adult home care service, and allows the department to establish standards and regulation to authorize care for up to three individuals based on unusual circumstances. Section 4 amends AS 4732-900, subsection 2, to add adult care homes to the list of settings that are not defined as assisted living homes. Section 5 amends AS 4732-900 to add a definition of adult care home, meaning a licensed home, not a business site, in which the adult head of household resides and provides 24-hour care on an ongoing basis. Section 6 amends uncodified law by adding a new section requiring the Department of Health to submit for approval by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services an amendment to the state medical assistance plan as necessary to allow eligible people to receive adult home care services and other long-term care services that are not duplicative. Section 7 also amends uncodified law by adding a new conditional effect notice section. Section 8 provides for an effective date for any portion of Section 1 as the day after the reviser of statute notifies, receive notice from the Commissioner of Health per Section 7.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Acting Director Newman? Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Director Newman. So you and I had spoke before about other states that do this. And so I was sort of expecting, on one slide would be like, here are the states that, you know, have comparable systems. Are there states that do exactly this, or are there states that do sort of something very similar to this? And if so, about how many states have a system similar to this?
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar, other states do have something like this. The challenge is it goes by different names in many places. For instance, in Oregon, it's called adult foster care homes. In Washington, they have yet another name. There are states, I believe, that have the same name as we're considering adopting. And another part of the challenge is that every state's waiver programs are different. They're uniquely approved by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So I could not tell you, even after some research, it might be difficult to tell you if the services that Alaska, in collaboration with its stakeholders, are going to be identical to the way services are offered in another state. But we can certainly do more research to determine where similar services are offered.
Brief follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, Director Newman, that won't be necessary. I think I just want a sort of general sense that what we're doing is not completely novel, and that there are at least a few states that do something similar to this. And I'm understanding your answer is yes, that is the case, and that hopefully it's working in your research, working well in these other states.
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar, yes. Yes, all around to that.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair to Director Newman. If you mentioned that an elder could move into perhaps a neighbor's home that was thus staying in the neighborhood and receiving care, would one be able to declare one's own home a care facility?
Through the chair, Senator Kaufman, great question, and that is the kind of thing that we would want to take up with our stakeholders. That's a question we've asked ourselves. Is it appropriate for one to own their own home and also be paid to receive services in that home? These are good questions. We need to be careful about conflicts of interest and preventing fraud and waste and abuse. But that is the kind of question we would want to take up and develop in regulation.
Yes, Senator Kaufman.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So what I'm looking at, I guess, I don't think necessarily it's so bad that somebody could stay in their home, but when we start incentivizing them to stay in their own home, or maybe incentivizing situations that might have normally otherwise occurred. So I don't know how. I'd be interested in hearing how we could filter that out in a regulatory structure, just to avoid unnecessary costs where it's maybe not really creating the benefit that we're looking for. Thank you.
All right. Senator Kiesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Director Newman, the question that you were just asked about a person staying in their own home and having a family member take care of them, that was allowed during COVID. Am I correct? And reimbursement provided for that family member.
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, yes. Under the public health emergency, the department was able, with permission from CMS, to lift the requirement that legally responsible individuals not be allowed to provide care. So currently, legally responsible individuals are able to provide a number of services that they were not previously. As the public health emergency nears its close, the state is looking at whether those sorts of flexibilities should be able to continue.
Yes, Senator Giesel.
So just briefly, did you find or was there reported a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse related to it?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, at this point, I would say no, we haven't seen a lot. We've seen a little, but by no means anything outside the norm of what we would have expected. So indications are that it seems to have been used well. Part of the problem, though, is we don't know how widely it's been used. And we're doing some research right now to determine how widely that flexibility has been used by people. So we look forward to having some details soon because we're doing that research.
Good. That'll be great information. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I have a question on, you mentioned about licensures, new type of licensure. Are you talking about the homes or the caregivers in terms of licensure?
Mr. Chairman, the home would be licensed, like an assisted living home is licensed or a nursing home is licensed. But the caregiver would need to be certified by the division. So our colleague at the department, Robert Nave on the phone, he oversees the residential licensing unit that licensed the setting, the place. The Division of Senior and Disability Services, where I work, certifies the service, the ability of the individual to be certified to provide the adult home care service. And our fiscal notes contain added staff, both in the residential licensing section and at the Division of Senior and Disability Services, for us to bring people on board to help us with that work.
Correct. And so are we looking to create a new DSP or a PCA, I'm sorry, a direct service provider or a certified medical assistant type of licensure or a personal care attendant? You know, these are all different types of licensure or certification types. Are we looking to just amend one of those types of licensure or certifications, or are we looking to create a brand new one?
Mr. Chairman, it would be a new certified service, and it will be informed by the existing types of certified services we offer.
Has the state looked at what other states have certified? I know Arizona just took this on, just went live in November, where basically they just got rid of all those licensure types and created one type of licensure type so that we could just have a more unified, diverse worker to enter the workplace that may be able to work in multiple settings, because to become one, it may just be a difference of a 5-hour training course on how to administer medication, and another one might just be, how to transfer a patient. And the hours and difference between the highest certification type and the lowest might be just a 40-hour in terms of training hours, and just looking at how we could sort of combine that. But I can't become a DSP in a versus a PCA, I would have to restart my hours, and so I may have to start all over again and take 120 hours when the difference in the training might just be a 30-hour, 20-hour course. Mm-hmm. And so has the division looked at anything like that in terms of trying to combine some of these licensure types and just have a more unified worker that could work across several different areas?
Mr. Chair, I'm not familiar with that work in Arizona. That sounds very exciting. But I guarantee we're a efficient and small enough operation that if there are ways to seek efficiencies that way, we would certainly try to do so.
Thank you. Any other questions before we go to public testimony? Seeing none, we'll take a brief at ease here real quick. We are back on the record. We do have a few folks online for testimony for Senate Bill 57. Also, those online that may want to submit additional written testimony, feel free to do so to the HESS Committee at shss@akleg.gov. We will plan for 3 minutes for testimony this afternoon. We will start with folks online. If we want to start with Stephanie Willer, and then we will move to Pat Reinhardt. Stephanie, are you with us? If you can place yourself on the record and begin testimony when you're ready.
I am. Thank you, and good afternoon. And for the record, my name is Stephanie Wheeler, and I am the state long-term care ombudsman, and I have been in this position since December 2019. The Alaska State Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program is pleased to offer support for Senate Bill 57, the Adult Home Care, which establishes a new residential setting category for adult home care services. So this bill will really offer seniors in our communities an alternative to existing service and living environment options. So the mission of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program is to provide resident-centered advocacy designed to protect the rights, health, safety, and welfare of Alaskans living in long-term care settings. We make unannounced visits to all long-term care settings for seniors across the state of Alaska. We advocate to improve the quality of life for all seniors. And often while we're visiting seniors in those assisted living homes, we frequently hear from elders that while they love their current living environment, they wish they could find an assisted living home close to the community where they have family or a home close to where they were born and raised. So this bill would offer support for elders to remain in or near their community of preference. We believe in choice for seniors. And also, as mentioned earlier, this is a really creative way to provide supports to elders in their home communities. So thank you for your hard work on this bill and for supporting the choices of elders to remain in their home communities. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll have Patrick Reinhart, followed by Marge Stoneking.
Yes, can you hear me, Senator?
Yes, we can. If you can place yourself on the record and begin when you're ready.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator Wilson, members of the committee. My name is Patrick Reinhart. I'm the Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Ed. As you know, myself and a couple members of the council presented before the committee a couple weeks ago. I want to thank you again for that opportunity. And then we had told the committee and people with the legislature that we met that we support this bill. Nothing has changed since then. We do think that this is another tool in the toolbox of the type of care and services that we can provide to people closer to home and in their community. I won't read all the points that we put in our position paper that we shared with all of you, as Mr. Newman kind of hit all the high points on that of the how and the why this type of program might be stood up. We understand there's a fiscal note attached to it, and I would just say in the long run, those are minor in comparison to what this type of service could save the state in preventing people from having to move into more expensive institutional care, either in their community or even outside the community or outside the state. Again, we support this emphatically, and we hope that the legislature passes it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Marge Stoneking, followed by John Lee.
Hi, this is Marge Stoneking, Chairman Wilson and members of the committee. I'm with AARP Alaska, and I'm the advocacy director based in Anchorage. And AARP strongly supports continued expansion and improvement of home and community-based waiver services to better serve our fast-growing senior population, including offering a range of residential setting options. The vast majority of us want to remain in our own homes and communities as we age, and we prefer a home setting over a nursing home or other institutional setting. Home and community-based services cost a fraction of what otherwise required nursing home care would cost, as you know. And the home care workforce crisis, combined with our rapidly aging population, is threatening access to HCBS for private pay and state pay alike. And that's already driving people into assisted living facilities or nursing home care, which could increase Medicaid rolls as few can afford long-term care in facilities such as nursing homes. That's why we need to use all the tools in the toolbox to expand home and community-based service options using proven service models from across the nation to offer choices that can appeal to both waiver participants and prospective workers alike. Choices. Adult home care is one such choice, one such solution, and AARP welcomes the administration proposing adult home care as an additional service option and adult care homes as a new residential setting for two or fewer residents. It's our understanding that SB 57 will provide a pathway to creating a lower administrative burden for operators than group assisted living homes, and that the intent is to offer elders and others the option of a more home-like setting with lower level services and fewer residents. Again, options. So AARP supports SB 57 and looks forward to working with the department on regulations required in the bill. We further urge the state and the legislature to continue its engagement with community partners to support additional initiatives that can support older Alaskans and aging in place, such as participant-directed care service model. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have John Lee.
Yes, my name is John Lee, for the record, and I'm calling as a private citizen from Palmer, Alaska, and also as someone who's worked in the healthcare and home and community-based service industry for well over 10 years in Alaska, and also for someone who's spent about 3 years in the state working in the state. And I urge passage and adoption of Senate Bill 57. And as a provider of residential services in our, I was a provider who provided services in our most rural communities in Alaska, and I know full well of the challenges that lead to the lack of services being offered in these communities, many, many reasons, and I think Tony Newman touched on some of those. But due to these challenges, there's a lack of services in our most rural communities, and as a provider, I personally have seen the tears of recipients who and their family members who are residing in our most rural communities who face the difficult choice of their loved one needing to leave the communities to go to places like Anchorage that have assisted living facilities, and that loved one permanently left their community in order to get these services. And I think Senate Bill 57 could go a long way to solving this issue and providing options that will be available for our most rural Alaskans. And also, personally, as somebody who has loved ones who would benefit from a service like this, think about it. If you have the option of living in a home in a loving family environment as an option to an assisted living facility. Now, assisted living facilities are wonderful, but living in a home-like environment that could be offered through Senate Bill 57 is a valuable new additional option that would be available for Alaskans and potentially at a lower cost, but certainly a more home-like setting. And because of this, I urge adoption of Senate Bill 57. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. We do have one person here in the room in Juneau, Kim Champney. You want to place yourself on the record and plan about 3 minutes for your testimony?
Thank you. My name is Kim Champney. I live here in Juneau, and I'm the executive director of the Alaska Association on Developmental Disabilities. So AADD has over 80 members, and our members are developmental disability service providers and care coordinators. And we have members providing services throughout the state. AADD supports the option this bill allows. The DD shared vision was added into statute in 2018, and at its core, states that services should support Alaskans living the lives they choose to live with the support they direct. The shared vision guides our efforts and is focused on building a community-based system that can meet the diverse needs of Alaskans. As you all are very well aware, and what we talk about every day at AADD, we are facing severe workforce shortages, as the world is. And these greatly impact people with disabilities and older Alaskans. AADD, with our partners and as a member of the Key Coalition of Alaska, believe that flexibility is essential. It is the key to rebuilding our system. The more options, the more flexibility we can add to our system, the better we will be able to meet the needs, especially in rural Alaska and across the state of Alaska. And I'm going to shift my testimony a little bit just to add a different perspective. When we think about a workforce shortage, one of the things we have to do is be creative. Not every person is wanting to work for an employer, provide a shift of care to somebody in their home or working in an assisted living home. But they may be open to somebody coming into their own home and living with them or continuing to provide care. And every time that option happens, that frees up another space in an assisted living home or for an organization that does have people who can provide that more structured kind of work. And so as we add these options, we bring people into the workforce, especially in Alaska, we're aging very quickly. And so what happens is the more that older Alaskans need care, the developmental disability workforce is impacted by that because there's only so many people drawn to call to this work. So I just wanted to add that. I've worked in this field for over 20 years. I remember this family, and I just wanted to give a personal story of this. Two children, their mother had a disability, an intellectual disability. She was not able to care for them. And a family member stepped forward, took the children on as a foster care parent. They grew up with him in his home. His job was taking care of them. They needed a lot of care. They reached 18. I remember going into him at the time and working with him to turn his home into an assisted living home. Incredibly, you know, big poster on the wall with emergency procedures, locked medication, you know, all of that. We worked through it with him. But I just think about, he was not going to go work for an agency and provide hourly care to these family members. I mean, it worked for them because they had the situation, but he was going to have to leave the home and go work if we didn't make this work. So anyway, just to close up really quickly, AADD looks forward to working with our partners to work through the details if this bill is passed. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here in the room in Juneau that wish to testify on Senate Bill 57? All right, seeing none and seeing no one else online, we'll go ahead and close public testimony and ask those bill sponsors to come back to the table. Are there any additional questions for bill sponsor at this time? I do have one. Shumi, can you talk about how someone will be paid, or would they have to bill the state, or are they billing Medicaid? If you could just talk a little bit about the billing differences between the assisted living homes and what would be the adult care homes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We would need to set up a rate for the service, and that would be established in collaboration with the department's Office of Rate Review, which establishes Medicaid rates for all the services the state offers. So we don't know what the rate would be at this time. We would imagine it would be something on the order of less than some of our other services, more than some of our other services, because it's going to be a unique blend of those things. But yes, people would right now, typically the service providers bill Medicaid. We've been, as we toss around ideas on how this would work to, again, increase efficiencies, make it as easy as possible for people. We talk about is it possible to work with CMS to establish something like a regular stipend or something like that wouldn't require billing? Would maybe providers be able to contract with a fiscal agent to organize healthcare delivery system, is the term of art in the CMS space, that would provide some of the administrative support these people would need to be able to offer the service? A lot of it is still to be determined, but typically the way services work now is that service providers need to file claims with the state to be paid.
Okay. And the reason I asked is because, remember, I think about this time last year when this bill came before that legislature, I was looking at some of the Medicaid audits, and a lot of them were from assisted living homes, had one of the highest payback or findings. And a lot of it was just technical errors or just, you know, not, you know, malicious intent of, you know, a fraud. It was just actual misbillings. And we sort of asked the department, can there be more technical assistance provided for people that are in assisted living homes or, you know, a billing service? And I don't know the answer to that. I know you guys can't mandate folks to use that. We just found a large discrepancy, more of assisted living homes being an outlier in some of the Medicaid audits that were going out, and just seeing that we should do something more to keep these folks afloat, or just education and some of the billing opportunities for some of these homes so we can keep them afloat, because it is difficult to do any type of Medicaid billing and some of the issues that can occur in Medicaid billings. And we've lost a lot of homes over couple of decades because of some issues in the Medicaid office. So I'm just making sure, because a lot of people's sole source of incomes were sort of this Medicaid billing opportunities and this is living homes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's great points. I'm someone who's married to a longtime Medicaid biller, and she found it very challenging. And one of the ideas behind this bill is to reduce administrative requirements to make it as simple as possible to encourage as many people to sign up for the service and offer it with a minimum of administrative headaches to deal with.
Thank you. And we also heard from testifiers, and I sort of had this question too, looking through the notes. Most of us will believe that this will be a cost savings to the state because it's in the least restrictive environment for a Medicaid billable service, and there would be a cost savings to the state. But is there anyone online or can talk about some of the cost savings availability that this bill might have for the state of Alaska? And just.
Do you mean in terms of Robert Nave or?
Oh, just anybody, yourself. I didn't know if anyone could speak to some of the cost savings capability of home-based community services. And this seems like a way that it would be a win-win for everybody. You know, you get to keep someone stably housed in their natural home environment by, you know, and that doesn't need to hire assisted living a care, either in a nursing home or just living home. And that some of those home-based services aren't as costly, so the state would actually save money. And so just didn't know if anyone could talk a little bit more about the financial aspects of the state's savings to this piece of legislation as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I will be before this your budget subcommittee in a few days, and I know I'll have the opportunity to speak to the cost savings that Alaska is able to enjoy thanks to home and community-based services. It's on the order of $427 million that we're able to save, avoid, and spending because we're able to care for people in homes in lower level settings than in nursing homes and in care facilities that are much more intensive and costly. We actually believe that in many cases this service will be less expensive for many people because instead of needing institutional care, needing to leave their homes, maybe in rural Alaska, to go to the city, to go to Anchorage to reside in a nursing facility, they'll be able to stay in their communities longer and stay healthier longer there. In a few cases, though, some people, it might be a little bit more expensive than a lot of people are making do in Alaska with less care than they probably should be receiving. So there will be probably some instances where it's a little more expensive. But we weighed those two factors, both the cost savings that could be enjoyed versus the higher expense for some, and that's why there's no fiscal note for the Medicaid services budget for this bill, because we believe it's going to be in effect be a wash, that there'll be just as much save for whatever cost this bill might bring to the Medicaid services budget, there will be just as much, if not more, savings.
Okay, thank you for speaking on that. Just wondering that question. Any further questions for the bill sponsor? Before we set this bill aside. All right, seeing none, do you have any final comments that you'd like to add?
No, Senator Wilson, thank you for hearing the bill.
All right. At this time, we'll set an amendment deadline for, we'll go for Wednesday, March 8th, close of business. And that concludes our business for today. Is there any closing comments from committee members at this time? Seeing none, next week on Tuesday, we will hold a confirmation hearing for Commissioner Designee Heidi Hedberg, including public testimony, and then we will return for committee consideration for committee substitute for Senate Bill 8, repeal of Certificate of Need, and for Senate Bill 44, the Naturopaths Bill. And we just want to thank everyone for attending this afternoon and wish everyone safe travels back to their destinations, and we are adjourned at 4:09 p.m.